plus your Chuck Taylors were ragged and worn in. It wasn't long till we were counting the days till graduation. We were dreaming of Oregon. You had a cousin in Portland. He had his very own place. So we hatched a scheme for how we get away. Found courage in the bourbon, like sponges we soaked in the night until we sank down and huddled up against the bonfire. We were drunk on our youth and the band and the sound. And I held your head that night, you cried your eyes out on the curb. After he crushed your heart with a single word, Juliet, you did your best. It's freezing in Columbus. Did you ever make it west? Well, I was quiet. You were reckless, and the boys liked you better, and in truth I did mind. I was thunder to your lightning. You were flame, I was embers, and it scared me sometimes. And just being close to you, it felt like diving from the sky. You couldn't stem the bleeding, and neither could I. Juliet, you did your best. It's freezing in Columbus. Did you ever make it
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
Well, what a packed program I have for you today, starting with economic news. As predicted, completely cluelessly by me, feeling around in the dark and knowing absolutely nothing about anything. Inflation has declined. We now have seen a lower than expected inflation number this morning. This is what I've been saying for months. And since we got the June numbers in July, inflation year over year after the June numbers we received in July were at 9.1%. Now we are down to 8.5%, coming in below the expected 8.7%. Now, the way that corporate media reports these numbers continues to be so confusing. Look at this headline from CNBC. Consumer prices rose 8.5% in July, less than expected as inflation pressures ease a bit. This is good news, but the reporting makes it sound like in July of this year, prices went up 8.5%. That is not the case. What this number means is that for the 12-month period ending in July, prices are up 8.5%. So another way to think about it would be in July, we got the inflation numbers from June 2021 through June 2022, and that was 9.1%. Now we are adding the numbers from July 22 and removing the numbers from June 22. So this new number is for July 2021 through July 2022. There must be some simpler way to report this so that people don't get as confused as they get. But the important thing is this is good news for an economy that otherwise looks quite good, essentially full employment, gas prices declining, stock market, at least over the last 6 weeks, looking significantly better than it had looked in the first months of 2022. A lot of these things look good, again, considering that these are the traditional economic indicators. And if we continue to see an inflation decline, which I expect that we will, as gas prices in the first 10 days of August has continued down, that is going to be a very good thing. Now, one other important bit of news here. Real average hourly earnings for all employees went up 0.5% in July. So this is another element that makes the economy look relatively solid, which is not only did we see inflation decline, we also saw wages go up, which this concern about buying power for the average American is mitigated to some degree by prices down and wages up. Now, is there still poverty? Of course. Is there still hunger? Of course. Inequality? Of course. This doesn't mean we've solved the economic problems that we have and that are inherent to the economic system we have. But by the indicators that we pay attention to, this is a significant improvement. Now, what's the right wing story going to be? I don't know. I mean, listen, inflation's down, stock market's up, gas prices are down, hourly earnings are up. Somehow it must be very bad for the country and for Joe Biden. I don't know what they're going to say. Probably, well, inflation is still too high. Yeah, okay, but it's lower than expected and it's declining. So we'll see what they come up with. Donald Trump has finally broken his silence on the FBI raid of his Mar-a-Lago home, and he instantly imploded on his very now extraordinarily famous platform, Truth Social. You know Truth Social. It's an exciting place.
Truth Central.
Yeah. So the big news, of course, over the last 48 hours that the FBI executed a search warrant at Donald Trump's home in Florida. They were in his safe. They were in his office. They were presumably in his residence. We don't yet know the full scope of the search warrant or what they took or what they were seeking. But Donald Trump breaking his silence on Tuesday with one post on Truth Social and then spent most of this morning posting about it. Completely embarrassing post starting yesterday with, quote, a horrible thing that took place yesterday at Mar-a-Lago. We are no better than a third world country, a banana republic. People not being above the law is not exactly third world stuff. It is a continuation of Russia, 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 impeachment hoax one, impeachment hoax two, the no collusion Mueller report and more. Well, that's not true. This has nothing to do with that. This has to do with Trump at the end of his presidency taking documents. It has nothing to do with those other things. And then Trump goes on to say, to make matters worse, it is all, in my opinion, a coordinated attack with radical left Democrat, state and local district attorneys and attorneys general. There is no evidence whatsoever of that. And in fact, the report is that Biden did not even know in advance about this. Then Trump continuing on Truth Social, quote, Biden knew all about this, just like he knew about all of Hunter's deals. It does not appear that that is true. A report from Politico is that indeed the Biden administration had no advance notice about the Mar-a-Lago search. Could they be lying? Sure, anyone could be lying at any time. But at this point, there is no evidence that Biden even knew ahead of time about this. Trump continuing, what took place yesterday and long before was an unprecedented infringement of the rights of every American citizen. No, it wasn't. They had a search warrant. They had a judge sign it. The FBI director presumably knew about it. The attorney general presumably knew about it, and everybody was involved, presumably dotting T's and crossing I's, as who was it that said the other day? I think it was Hannity that said something about dotting T's and crossing I's. Trump going on scam after scam, year after year. It is all the radical Democrats really know. It is their lifeblood. They have no shame, and our country is paying a very big price. Accountability is a good thing, not a bad thing. Trump continuing his tirade, quote, "The FBI and others from the federal government would not let anyone, including my lawyers, be anywhere near the areas that were rummaged and otherwise looked at during the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Everyone was asked to leave the premises. They wanted to be left alone without witnesses, taking or hopefully not planting there. Now, this is the new thing, planting evidence. We'll get to that. Why did they strongly insist on having nobody watching them? Everybody out. Obama and Clinton were never raided, despite big disputes. What on earth would you have raided Barack Obama for? I mean, it just quite frankly makes no sense whatsoever. So Donald Trump exploding on Truth Central and making a dozen or more unfounded assertions. This thing about nobody was allowed there. Look at the commentary from former FBI agents about what is and is not allowed during the execution of such search warrants. And you will find that at this time, there's no evidence anything wrong was done. More very bad news for the failed former president. And there will be other bad news for him today as well. Donald Trump was deposed today. This is major, major news. And we already have some reports as to what took place. Trump to be deposed Wednesday morning in New York Attorney General's probe of his business. This is something Trump has been seeking to avoid for a very long time. Donald Trump's deposition for New York's inquiry into the Trump Organization is set for Wednesday. Trump is set to be grilled in Manhattan by lawyers from New York's Attorney General Letitia James. James has accused Trump of misstating property values to win tax breaks and bank loans. Remember the way that that works. You have a property. Trump has a building. Let's say it's worth $2 million. When Trump wants to use that building as collateral for a loan, he says this is a $3 million building. And then when Trump wants to have a lower tax liability in property taxes on the building, he says it's only worth $1 million. That is at the nexus, at the core of this investigation. The article says Donald Trump is scheduled to sit for his long delayed court ordered deposition Wednesday morning. We already have a report about how it went. Donald Trump claiming that he refused to answer any questions from the attorney general. CNBC report, Trump says he refused to answer New York Attorney General's questions and probe of his business. Trump made the announcement shortly after he arrived at the offices of AG Letitia James. "I once asked, if you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment? Now I know the answer to that question." Remember, Trump used to say only the mob takes the Fifth. Why take the Fifth if you're innocent? And now Donald Trump availing himself of his Fifth Amendment right, which he reportedly invoked numerous times today. Donald Trump also commenting on Truth Social in advance of the hearing, quote, "In New York City tonight, seeing racist New York State Attorney General tomorrow for a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in U.S. history. My great company and myself are being attacked from all sides. Banana Republic. No, sir. I'm coming to you with tears in my eyes and saying no, sir. Potentially accountability for anyone, because no one is above the law in the United States, is a good thing. In fact, many so-called banana republics, sort of a pejorative, Trump might sometimes call them asshole countries. One of the hallmarks of many of those countries is there is not accountability for those in the top echelons of power and privilege. If there is such accountability in the United States, that would be a good thing, not a bad thing. So much bad news for Donald Trump. After the break, Trump frenetically seeking a criminal defense attorney. And Donald Trump's taxes are going to be given to the House of Representatives. Could this be the worst 72-hour period for Trump that we can remember? Let me know your thoughts. Find me on Twitter at @dpacman, and we'll continue after this short break. It has been a wild week for the failed former president. Pictures of documents in his toilet are published. The FBI raids his house. He had to testify, be deposed by the Attorney General Letitia James in New York this morning, at which we now learn Donald Trump pleaded the fifth on every question, something he used to say only the mob and guilty people did. And now there's an extraordinary new report from Rolling Stone that Donald Trump is desperately seeking not companionship, but a criminal defense lawyer after that FBI raid. Inside Trump's frantic hunt for killer criminal defense attorneys. Behind closed doors this summer, Trump and his advisors have been narrowing the short list of criminal defense attorneys he'd need to take on the Justice Department. The former president has had preliminary conversations with Tim Parlatore, a lawyer best known for successfully representing an accused war criminal, about possible legal strategies should the Department of Justice escalate its probe or hit Trump with charges. Trump's conversations with Parlatore and other newly retained attorneys are part of his broader push to assemble yet another new legal team, both for current legal woes and any future ones coming up from the FBI and Biden-era Department of Justice. Trump has been quizzing confidants. What do you think of specific criminal defense attorneys, throwing out names big and obscure? In other words, as one advisor describes it, Trump is conducting The Apprentice, Avoid Federal Prison edition. Monday's FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago will likely intensify that search. We are going to potentially see a Donald Trump over the next couple of weeks that is unlike any that we have seen before. Now, in terms of representing Trump, there's this question of Trump is known for not paying his attorneys. So why would an attorney agree to work for Donald Trump? Well, there's two different answers to that question. One, even if they assume they're not going to get paid because Trump stiffs people, it might be worth it essentially pro bono, not deliberately pro bono, but essentially pro bono after the fact, for the notoriety of representing a former president. That would be one answer. The second part of it is that at least for now, we still believe that the Republican National Committee is paying Donald Trump's legal bills. Remember that early last week or late the week before, I mentioned to you that the RNC gave Trump an ultimatum. If you declare yourself a candidate for 2024 before the midterms, we will stop paying your legal bills. And it seems that the RNC has decided both, number one, that it would be bad for their midterm chances if Donald Trump declares his candidacy too early. And number two, that they would rather pay his legal bills than to have him be, I guess, not represented by attorneys in many of the different problems that he's having. So it's going to be a wild couple of weeks. People have been emailing me saying, what's the timeline on the next thing? Like, OK, there's been a raid. What's the next thing? When is the next thing? We don't know the answer to that. But the bad news for Trump simply does not stop. The IRS must hand over Donald Trump's taxes, says a judge. At this point, this is more of a ha-ha thing than substantively meaningful if and until Donald Trump declares that he is again a candidate for the Republican nomination in 2024. But this is something that's been going on for so long. Think back to the primary period in 2016 when Donald Trump was asked, people with tears in their eyes saying, sir, where are your taxes? And Donald Trump said, I'm under audit. Once there's no more audit, I will release my tax returns. And of course, it never made sense. Why didn't it make sense? Well, he obviously wasn't under audit for every year. Why didn't he release the taxes for the years not under audit? Because it was all a lie all along. And a House committee investigating malfeasance and wrongdoing and subterfuge has been trying to obtain Donald Trump's taxes for years at this point. This is supposedly the absolute final, definitive, last step. Rolling Stone reporting, IRS must hand Trump's tax returns over to the House committee, according to a court. Judge David Sentell wrote Tuesday, the chairman has identified a legitimate legislative purpose that it requires information to accomplish. Oh, I don't have this article here. I guess I have to subscribe to Rolling Stone. But I can tell you what the determination is. One of the things that's at issue when a judge is to determine a question like, does the IRS have to give tax returns to a House committee? Is there a valid, legitimate, substantive reason, legislatively for the House committee to have these taxes. If a court believes or determines that the reason that the House wants Trump or anyone else's tax returns from the IRS is out of curiosity, a fishing expedition to make someone look bad, or for whatever any other reason other than a legislatively substantive reason, they would say the IRS does not have to turn these documents over. What the court found is that there is legitimate and substantive justification for the House of Representatives committee to have those tax returns. So Trump is having a really, really bad week. I don't know at this point what would come from a public standpoint from Donald Trump's taxes being given to this House committee. But consider that if he does run again, he is, of course, going to try to shield his taxes again. I mean, listen, the guy won without ever publishing his taxes, which is something no other presidential candidate has been able to do. And so I'm still interested in seeing what's there. I think that all of the things we expected would be there. Trump's not as wealthy as he claims to be. Trump plays very fast and loose with the values of many of his assets, all of these different things. And what impact they would have on Trump voters at this point is probably almost zero. But what a week, huh? Photos surface showing Trump flushing documents down toilets. Mar-a-Lago is raided. He has to be deposed by Letitia James. And now his taxes are going to the House committee. Not a particularly good week. All right. You knew it would happen. You knew that the conspiracy theories would explode thanks to this raid at Mar-a-Lago that took place of the failed former president. And one of those conspiracy theories that is now spreading like wildfire is that the FBI planted evidence against Donald Trump. Now, is there any reason to believe the FBI planted evidence at Mar-a-Lago against Donald Trump? No. Is there any specific claim being made about what was planted? No. Do we have any reason to believe that the FBI planted evidence against Donald Trump? No. But that doesn't stop them on the right from saying it. The new Trump right-wing talking point is that evidence was planted. This suggests the reality is almost certainly that there was no evidence planted, and whatever was found at Mar-a-Lago is probably not very good for Donald Trump. Let's look at some examples. Here is Jesse Waters, an absolutely horrible person on Fox News. He says the FBI is probably planting evidence, and he goes even further and says they probably doctored the evidence to get the warrant in the first place.
How horrible is that? They could have easily negotiated the return of documents like that without guns and warrants. What the FBI is probably doing is planting evidence, which is what they did during the Russia hoax. We also have a hunch they doctored evidence to get the warrant.
Well, a hunch. That sounds like it's Jesse Waters' feeling. What's that thing that those right wingers always say? Something like, the facts don't care about your feelings. And there's a lot of feelings coming from Jesse Waters, but very few facts. Then Charlie Kirk interviewed Newt Gingrich. That's a match made in heaven. And again, make the suggestion that the FBI planted evidence at Mar-a-Lago. Do they have any justification for that claim? Absolutely none whatsoever. But they're all on the same page, at least as far as the talking points go.
You really are now seeing the ugly face of a tyranny. And the left is so desperate, so frightened. And you're watching Trump win again. Apparently, the last votes came in and his candidate beat another of the people who had voted to impeach him. So he's I think he's now defeated 7 of the 10 people
with a couple
that
to
voted
go.
To impeach
That's
him.
That's right. Joe
and well, in one case, Kevin McCarthy talked him out of challenging Valadao because we wouldn't keep the seat. And I think Trump wisely said, OK, I'm going to give him a pass. The next big test, of course, will be Liz Cheney, who I suspect will lose by 20 or 30 points.
Yes.
And she's part of this. I mean, she is part of the effort to turn the system into basically a tyrannical, anti-conservative, anti-Republican, constant violation of the law, which is what the January 6th committee.
Now, none of that's true, but here's the key moment.
You have a fake committee being covered by the fake news with a fake FBI, which, by the way, you'll notice they didn't allow anybody on the Trump side into Mar-a-Lago. So we have no idea whether or not they planted evidence.
Yes, that's exactly right. And Newt, I have a couple thoughts. Number one,
They have no idea whether they planted evidence. Another way to say the same thing is we have absolutely no proof that they planted evidence. We have absolutely no empirical basis for claiming that they planted evidence. And what we do know is that everything about the execution of the search warrant was handled as it always is, arguably with even more discretion because of the sensitivity of the individual involved. One other example here. This is Trump lawyer Alina Habba. I don't know where all these lawyers come from. There's so many Trump lawyers. This is Trump lawyer Alina Habba. She goes on Fox News and she also floats the idea that the FBI planted evidence. There is no evidence that there was planted evidence.
This is a joke. This is memento. And quite honestly, I'm concerned that they may have planted something. You know, at this point, who knows? I don't trust the government. And that's a very frightening thing as an American. If I didn't want to be an American and go to another, this is third world stuff. We've heard it. This is Cuba. This is not our country.
Now, you know, the truth is, one of the problems with some of the countries they love to talk about as third world countries or banana republics or whatever term they love to use, one of the problems is that there is no accountability for people in positions of power and privilege. It distinguishes us, if indeed there are consequences to people in positions of power and privilege, from those very countries. It makes us different because in those countries, you don't see accountability. Donald Trump also, by the way, floating this idea that evidence was planted. He went on his platform, Truth Social, and he said, quote, "The FBI and others from the federal government would not let anyone, including my lawyers, be anywhere near the areas that were rummaged and otherwise looked at during the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Everyone was asked to leave the premises. They wanted to be left alone without any witnesses to see what they were doing, taking, or hopefully not planting. Why did they strongly insist on having nobody watching them? Everybody out. Obama and Clinton were never raided despite big disputes." Folks, not a shred of evidence presented that anything was planted. They will attack the FBI. They're already doing it, even though the FBI director was appointed by Donald Trump and Trump gushed about how great his credentials and honesty and everything was. They will attack the judge who signed the search warrant. I'm already seeing that this morning. They will attack the DOJ as a tool of Democratic President Joe Biden, even though the evidence is the White House wasn't even informed about this raid. They will attack Merrick Garland himself, which are all they're already doing. They will attack Joe Biden, which they're already doing. And they will talk about Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. They will talk about Hunter Biden's laptop. They will talk about Obama. I don't even know why they're talking about Obama. I don't understand why you would raid Obama. None of it makes any sense. And they are doing every single one of those things. Now, later on, we're going to look at a serious case of brain worms. The new thing is increasingly the next level conspiracy theory above and beyond evidence was planted is this is the beginning of a plot to assassinate Donald Trump. Now, if your plan is to assassinate Trump, I don't know why you need to serve a search warrant first. I don't know why you need to go through the trouble of legally obtaining the search warrant if your plan is to assassinate Trump. It doesn't pass the sniff test, but that has never mattered to them. So we will look at that a little bit later. If you're curious about some of these clips that we played during the segment, you can find all of them on our Instagram at David Pakman Show. Follow me on Instagram at David.Pakman as well. All right. We are following the continued meltdown in MAGA world over the Trump FBI raid. This started Monday night during our live coverage. We watched Sean Hannity absolutely lose it in some breathless 11-minute monologue about who even knows what Benghazi and Obama and due process, who knows what he was talking about. This continued yesterday, and we're going to look at some examples. And what's notable about these is obviously they're running interference for Trump. Now, there's a couple things that can be going on. Some of these folks may themselves be worried that they could be implicated in the materials found at Mar-a-Lago. It's conceivable. The second part of this is, look at how quickly they are willing to abandon their supposed principles as soon as they don't like the way things are going. I'm going to give you one example here. Here is Charlie Kirk, seen as a hero to young conservatives around the country and all this different stuff. He says, well, if Trump was raided, then they should raid Black Lives Matter, Planned Parenthood, and George Soros. Why would you raid those things? That doesn't make any sense, Charlie. Well, let's see if he explains it.
And I'm going to say this plainly and bluntly. Raids must be met with raids. They raid Donald Trump's home. Well, why don't you go raid BLM for burning down $1 billion worth of property in the summer of 2020?
So each of those property crimes is being and has been investigated. And you don't need a raid if you don't believe that there is evidence of a crime at a location. Like sometimes you would just arrest somebody. You know, you don't necessarily always need a raid in lots of types of alleged crimes. But why would you start raiding people? It doesn't make sense, Charlie.
They raid Donald Trump. Why don't you go raid Planned Parenthood for all of their, let's just say, very revealing crimes that was revealed 5 or 6 years ago on camera?
Yeah. Charlie Kirk is referring to a sort of staged sting operation that was then used to make false claims about Planned Parenthood. And there is no reason that today you would start raiding Planned Parenthood because a legal search warrant was executed at Donald Trump's home.
They raid Donald Trump. Why does George Soros get away with everything he's doing, funding attorney general's offices?
Well, funding attorney general's offices, what crime has taken place, Charlie? And also, why do they always bring George Soros into this, these conspiracy theorists?
Globalist, internationalist, Trotskyite socialists, unlike Obama, Trudeau, Macron, and the rest of these Zio beasts.
Yeah. George Soros, Charlie, it's a little bit too on the nose. So all of a sudden, due process going out the window, just start raiding everybody. Then there's the planted evidence conspiracy theory. We already did a segment on that earlier in the show, but just to be thorough, I am going to play it again so that we include it in this clip. There are 10 of these I could play. Here's just one. This is the planted evidence conspiracy theory, and I won't subject you to all of it. Let's just listen to a little bit of it.
By 20 or 30 points.
Yes.
And she's part of this. I mean, she is part of the effort to turn the system into a, basically a tyrannical, anti-conservative, anti-Republican, constant violation of the law, which is what the January 6th committee is. You have a fake committee being covered by the fake news with a fake FBI, which, by the way, you'll notice they didn't allow anybody on the Trump side into Mar-a-Lago. So we have no idea whether or not they planted evidence.
Yes, that's exactly right. And Newt, I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, I wish I trusted our law enforcement. You need some form of law enforcement to have a civil society. But I'm right with you. I say, oh, they're planting evidence. How disappointing of a place we are in our country where our immediate reaction is that our own law enforcement agency might be planting evidence against a former president.
There is no such evidence. There is no reason to believe that they are planting evidence. There is simply no reason to believe that. And then here's another talking point that a lot of them are now stuck to. And that talking point is, if the FBI can do this to Trump, they could do this to anyone. No one is safe. This is a very dumb talking point, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Here's Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn using this one.
I think that there are a lot of questions that we justifiably have, and we want answers, because if the FBI can do this to President Donald Trump, they can do it to you, and the American people know that.
That is such a silly talking point. What does it mean? If they can do it to Trump, they can do it to you. Is a president, our VIPs, our wealthy socialites, the elites, whatever term you want to use, the Bilderbergs? No, I'm not doing the Jones thing. Should they be exempt? Should they get special treatment? And also, we know it can happen to all of us. It happens to all of us all the time. That's the whole point. The point is, it doesn't happen to these people at the top echelons of society. That's why it could happen to you if it happens to Trump. We know it could happen to us, Marsha. It happens to us all the time. The question is, will anybody of significant power actually be held accountable? So brainworms, a major, major problem with a lot of these right wing conspiracy theories. And maybe the most brainwormy of them all is the Trump assassination plot conspiracy theory. It's so wacky, I want to separate it and talk about it now in its own right. There is a growing talking point that there is an assassination plot against Donald Trump. Now, almost certainly, there are people who would love to assassinate every former president and every current president. Joe Biden gets assassination threats. Trump got them. Barack Obama got more than any previous president. George W. Bush got them. Okay, so in some general sense, the point of the Secret Service, among other things, is to track and pay attention to and investigate assassination threats against a former or sitting president. But there is a growing talking point among the American right wing, the MAGA people, that the FBI raid on Trump's home is part of a growing assassination plot. Now, before we even look at the clips, and the first clip is going to be from Steve Bannon, you have to at some point apply some basic level of critical thinking to this stuff. And you should be saying, if there was an assassination plot against Donald Trump, why would a legally executed search warrant on his home be part of the assassination plot? Why? Why would you need that? If you're, I mean, for the people that believe that the CIA killed John F. Kennedy, why would they have needed to first serve a search warrant on his Hyannisport home or the Kennedy compound or whatever? It just doesn't make sense. You don't need a legal FBI raid as part of an assassination plot, but this doesn't matter to them. This doesn't stop them. Let's look at this first clip. And by the way, it's Steve Bannon, so it's not merely an assassination plot. It's a deep state assassination plot. Take a look at this.
And I agree. I do not think it's beyond this administrative state and their deep state apparatus to actually try to work on the assassination of President Trump. I think everything's on the table. I think his security ought to be at the highest it's ever been. And honestly, I think he ought to, and I think he should have flown down to Mar-a-Lago this morning, walked out there at noon today, and said, hey, I'm running for president of the United States. Suck on that.
Well, that was my next question. As his former top advisor, what should Trump be doing right now?
Right.
I think what he should do is action, action, action. I don't think there should be any more of the tweets, no more of the Truth Social stuff. That's all nice.
Listen, there's not going to be any tweets. He's been banned from Twitter for a long time.
They put out a video last night. No more videos. We're beyond that. You know, they're trying to not just put you in bankruptcy. They're trying to liquidate InfoWars, which is obviously one of the major news sources out there for the MAGA movement. They're trying to liquidate
MAGA.
InfoWars. They're putting Peter Navarro in chains like a common felon.
All right. So anyway, the deep state is working to assassinate Donald Trump, and there's been planted materials at Mar-a-Lago. No evidence of any of that stuff. Then on Newsmax, and we looked at this earlier in the week, here's Bernie Kerik. And I should actually be precise about Bernie Kerik, because I alluded to this and then I was not completely sure about it. Bernie Kerik is former police commissioner, but also a convict. He pleaded guilty in Bronx Supreme Court to ethics violations and acknowledged that when he was interior minister of Iraq, he accepted $250,000 interest-free, quote, loan, and loan is in quotes. It's not really clear what the deal is with that. Then he was indicted by a federal grand jury the following year in White Plains, New York, on charges of tax fraud, making false statements. In 2009, he then pleaded guilty to 8 felony tax and false statement charge. If anybody knows about criminality, it's Bernie Kerik. And he is on to say, I think they may be trying to assassinate Trump with all of this. And again, the question is, Bernie, you used to be in law enforcement. Why do you need to execute a search warrant in order to assassinate someone?
And I just put out a tweet about this. If you remember back in 2016, when right before he got elected, I was in Washington, D.C. I was at a couple different social events and I heard people talking. They said the Democrats want this guy so bad that they wouldn't put assassination behind it. Mm. And I'm going to tell you something.
Please.
They've tried impeachment. They've tried another impeachment. They've tried one investigation after another. This is about one thing. This is about stopping him from running in 2024.
Ooh.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not into conspiracies.
Right.
I'm not into anti-government rhetoric. This is the first time in my lifetime that I would say I am deathly afraid for Donald Trump. I would not put assassination behind these people. I just,
you know, you make a very good point, Bernie. He gets Secret Service for the rest of his life based on what we have known recently, what we hear about deep state. He may find it in his best interest to get his own security with the Secret Service.
Ooh, understand that. The deep state may be so deep, it may be in the Secret Service. The Secret Service may have it out for Trump, and thus Trump should have private security to protect him from the Secret Service, which is there to protect him from everybody else.
As well, Bernie, about 20 seconds left. Final thought.
Listen, I couldn't agree more. you know, what just happened is no different than happens in Venezuela, Colombia, Cuba, and countries like that.
Unfortunately, it really doesn't happen in a lot of those countries. In a lot of those countries, you would never see a search warrant conducted on a current or former official. You wouldn't see it because they actually don't have the administrations control law enforcement and they control courts. And these are the horrible things in some of the places that they talk about. So you actually would not see that. No evidence for any of this. No evidence for any of this. But they're talking about planted evidence. They're talking about assassinations. They will not stop. And they are throwing everything they can at the wall to see what sticks. We'll have more coverage of all of this on our Facebook. Make sure that you have found our Facebook page, facebook.com/David Pakman Show. And remember that if you've been missing all this week, we've been doing live streams covering the latest revelations on all of this. If you've been missing the live streams, you can see the top clips from the live streams on the second YouTube channel. That channel is called Pakman Live. And you can find it at youtube.com/Pakman Live. Believe it or not, that's where you can find it. Don't miss the live stream coverage. We will take a quick break and be right back. Much more news to discuss today. All right. Extremely strange news out of the Alex Jones defamation trial. As many of you know, the jury found for the plaintiffs in the Alex Jones defamation trial for roughly $49 million. Alex Jones' text messages that were obtained by plaintiff's attorney Mark Bankston during that trial have now been turned over to the House committee investigating the January 6th Trump riots. And the story is going to shift over there to some degree. But there's now a new wrinkle to the case. Mark Bankston, the attorney for the plaintiffs, who will hopefully be joining me on the show very soon to talk about all of the trial. He revealed to our friend Anna Kasparian on The Young Turks that Alex Jones sent what appear to be non-consensual nude images of his own wife to Roger Stone, the indicted and pardoned former Trump advisor. This is now going from just horrifying to bizarre. Look at this. In The Guardian, the headline is Alex Jones sent nude photo of wife to Roger Stone, Sandy Hook lawyer reveals. Picture was among cache of messages inadvertently handed over by InfoWars host's lawyer to the opposition legal team. Remember this incredible moment from the trial where it was revealed that Alex Jones' own attorney accidentally sent a digital copy of his entire phone to the opposing counsel. Lawyers for the notorious American conspiracy theorist Alex Jones accidentally gave his legal adversaries a nude photo of his wife that he had texted to the conservative political operative Roger Stone. The seemingly farcical, that I would call it farcical or Kafkaesque, the seemingly farcical but entirely true development was the latest bit of fallout since one of the attorneys for a family suing Jones for defamation revealed last week that Jones' own lawyer inadvertently handed over numerous text messages. The lawyer, Mark Bankston, the recipient of the leak, appeared on Monday on The Young Turks to confirm one of the texting questions contained a naked photo of Jones' wife sent to Stone. Now, since there's been a commentary from Alex Jones' wife, Alex Jones' wife says she is unaware and upset her husband sent a nude photo of her to Roger Stone. So indeed, it was sent non-consensually. What we don't know is whether the picture itself was non-consensual. There's a little bit of a gray area. Alex Jones might have taken the picture consensually and sent it to Roger Stone without consent, or even the existence of the picture itself might be non-consensual. Let's take a listen to the clip from Mark Bankston speaking to the Young Turks.
Mr. Jones said that there was an intimate photo of his wife on the phone. That I can also confirm that's true. And I normally wouldn't talk about that in public, but there is a public interest angle into this, mm-hmm. is that I'm a little concerned about it because that intimate photo was sent to Roger Stone. And I don't know if that was consensual. And if it wasn't consensual, and Mrs. Wolf Jones should know about that, and there might be something that needs to be done about that. Then again, it could be totally consensual. But when I see that, and I don't see any indication that it was, I'm concerned something might not be on the up and up with that. There are certainly laws in certain states about that.
Yeah. And in fact, we've since found out, thanks to the comment from Erica Wolf Jones, she was not aware of the exchange and was upset about the disclosure. The wife of conservative radio host Alex Jones told Insider Tuesday she was unaware her husband sent a nude photo of her former of her to former Donald Trump advisor Roger Stone. We're going to try to get Mark Bankston on the show very, very soon to talk about. I think that there are probably a dozen other bizarre, major, interesting stories underneath what is currently publicly known about this. And it's so strange to think, I've told the story before, back when I met Alex Jones years ago at a talk radio event called the Talkers New Media Seminar. He really, first of all, his physical appearance was far more normal. He also spoke far more normally in what was not like an on-air capacity. He was still the wacky guy on air. But behind the scenes, we were just chatting, and I was on the outskirts of this small group of four people who were chatting. I had not met him before. He seemed to even acknowledge the way that he's perceived, saying after the speech he gave, you know, I could have really freaked him out if I had wanted to, sort of like acknowledging that he toned down his character because it was sort of like an industry event or whatever. Now, every video of Alex Jones outside of his show, whether it's someone going up to him on the street or the testimony that he gave under oath during the trial that just completed, it seems as though there is now really no difference between the on-air Alex Jones and the off-air Alex Jones. And it is dramatically different than what I experienced personally. I mean, I guess at this point, it was like 12 years ago. So I don't know what to make of it, but it wouldn't come as a shock if indeed there was this predatory aspect to Alex Jones as well, where he is non-consensually sending nude pictures of his wife to people, all extraordinarily bizarre. You know, there's this theme that we've been following in the Republican Party over the last many years. Allegations are confessions. Now, of course, we're not literally saying it. It's not strictly true. But many of the things that Republicans accuse the left of doing, we later find out they themselves are actually doing. And one of those things is that a Trump-endorsed Republican has been caught tampering with voting machines despite being a big one of the people crying wolf when it comes to voter fraud. Reuters reports Trump-backed Michigan attorney general candidate involved in voting system breach, documents show. This is about the Republican nominee for Michigan Attorney General. His name is Matthew DiPerno. He led a team that gained unauthorized access to voting machines while hunting for evidence to support Trump's claims about election fraud. Understand that. In searching for evidence of election fraud, you end up tampering with voting machines and accessing things that you're not supposed to. The analysis shows that people working with Matthew DiPerno examined a vote tabulator from Richfield Township, a conservative stronghold of 3,600 people in Michigan. The Richfield security breach is one of four similar incidents being investigated by the current AG, Democrat Dana Nessel. Under state law, it is a felony to seek or provide unauthorized access to voting equipment. DiPerno did not respond to a request for comment. The involvement of a Republican attorney general nominee in a voting system breach comes amid a national effort by backers of Trump's fraud falsehoods to win state offices that could prove critical in deciding any future contested election. Understand the what this is, okay? Matthew DiPerno is running for attorney general. Were he to win that race, he would be involved, generally speaking, in supervising future elections in Michigan and, at least theoretically, in prosecuting real instances of voter fraud, election tampering, etc. And he himself now has been allegedly caught tampering with voting machines and accessing things he is not supposed to have access to. And all of it was done because he's looking for voter fraud that actually doesn't exist. Here is a clip of Donald Trump a few months ago, very strongly praising Matt DiPerno. Check this out.
Somebody said, well, he's very tough. That's what you need. Who is putting his life and reputation on the line.
Right.
Matt DiPerno. After the 2020 election, Matt led the explosive investigation to what happened in Antrim County, where, among other irregularities, votes were switched by mistake and had to be corrected.
None of it happened. Okay. So anyway, the guy Trump really likes to investigate all of the fraud done against Trump is now accused of tampering with voting machines. You really can't script this stuff. You truly cannot. Let's hope this guy doesn't win, because if he does, then the tamperer will be in charge of prosecuting the voter fraud that may or may not take place. That doesn't sound very good. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192 David P. I am shocked by the outpouring of messages yesterday on the bonus show yesterday.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money. Everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Right. We made money on the bonus show yesterday, and we talked about manual transmissions in cars. And I said my first vehicle when I got my license was a 1991 Pontiac Firebird. And I know you would not expect a Jewish Argentinian to be driving a Pontiac Firebird. Culturally, it doesn't make any sense. I get it, guys. But that was my first car. I got a great deal on it, I have to tell you. And I indicated that for me, it's sort of sad that manual transmissions are going away, particularly with electric vehicles, which don't even have gearboxes. We are seeing a decline in the number of available vehicles with a manual transmission. This is not, you know, this is not kids going hungry. It's just an element of nostalgia. And I said yesterday that I didn't love it. I got so many emails from people saying, David, I love stick shifts. Here's you could do this, that, the other thing. And here is a piece of advice that I got about this stick shift issue.
Yes. Hello, David. This is Yabbitz from Marietta, Georgia.
Please.
I heard your show. I heard your bonus show. I heard your manual transmission. Jeremiah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Sort of a lament.
It was.
Motorcycles. I got one word for you. Motorcycles. Ain't going to be manual transmissions going to be on motorcycles for as long as I can imagine. I got to believe it. So, and by the way, one of my favorite films based out of Argentina.
Yes.
Is Motorcycle Diaries.
Right.
I don't know if you ever saw it, but man, what a great, fantastic film. But I learned in the 1960s to drive a stick shift on the steering wheel, on the handle, as well as four on the floor. I know manual very well and I love it.
All right. So listen, here's the deal. I don't know how many people in the audience know this. I used to have a motorcycle. When I was, I want to say about 18, I bought a used Honda CBR 600 from a friend of mine. It was so cool. It was fun. It was great. And then one day I just realized this is absolutely insane. This is so dangerous. This is crazy. And I sold the motorcycle and I never looked back. And now in particular, knowing a bunch of emergency room doctors and hearing from them, listen, don't get a motorcycle. It's insanely dangerous. I know you only live once and blah, 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 all this different stuff. It seems like an insane risk. So I get it. Stick shifts on motorcycles. It's a beautiful thing. It's not going to be for me. It is just so outrageously dangerous. And I'm not denying that it's fun. I'm not denying that it's great. But it's not for me. So for me, my stick shift driving will be limited to, I think at a certain point, if and when, you know, my household needs a second vehicle, I think I would prioritize something with a manual transmission for nostalgia purposes. Okay, thank you very much. On today's bonus show, we will talk about the results from last night's primaries in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vermont, and Connecticut. We are going to talk about an attempt by U.S. lawmakers to crack down on airlines for canceled flights. It is bonkers what's been happening with canceled flights recently. And we are also going to bring back the discussion about a national popular vote. It is now abundantly clear most Americans support a national popular vote. They just do. And there are a number of different ways that we can get there, some easier than others. We will talk about the pros and the cons of a national popular vote, of using the popular vote to decide who becomes president of the United States. All of those stories and much, much more await you on today's bonus show. You can sign up for the bonus show at joinpacman.com. You can use the coupon code BIGVOTING22, something we must all do, to get a discount off of the cost of a membership. So I will see you on the bonus show today or otherwise.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz. Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
And the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
RCT in sound from way out.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
WRCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1940.
WRCT, in sound, from way out.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz. CT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We must keep the horrors of Hiroshima in view of all times, recognizing there is only one solution to the nuclear threat, not to have nuclear weapons.
As UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warns about the growing risk of nuclear war, we look at efforts to revive the Iran nuclear deal. After 16 months of negotiations, a final text has been sent to Washington and Tehran. We'll get the latest. Plus, we look at the growing housing crisis in the United States as rents soar and cities crack down on the unhoused.
For us, safety is defined by housing. Safety is defined by health care. Safety is defined by opportunities.
Also, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott is sending busloads of asylum seekers to so-called liberal cities like New York and Washington, D.C. We'll speak with the head of the New York Immigration Coalition. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Ukraine's military says its special forces were behind a blast at a Russian airbase in Crimea Tuesday that destroyed 9 Russian warplanes. If confirmed, it would be Ukraine's most successful attack on Russian air power since the start of the war in February. Elsewhere, Ukraine's military says at least 13 people were killed and 10 others wounded after Russian forces fired rockets from the site of a captured nuclear power plant. Ukraine says Russia is using the threat of a nuclear catastrophe at the Zaporizhia nuclear plant as a deterrent to prevent counterattacks by Ukrainian forces. With 6 nuclear reactors, Zaporizhia is the largest nuclear power plant in Europe. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin traveled to Latvia Wednesday, where he pledged more U.S. military support to the former Soviet Republic and NATO member. After meeting Austin, Latvia's Minister of Defense said his country is a litmus test for Russia's imperial ambitions beyond Ukraine. He said Latvia wants more military training from the United States and more heavy weaponry.
Our priorities is very clear. It's a rocket artillery. We can see it's used very well in defending Ukrainian sovereignty and freedom. It is air defense and, of course, coastal defense, because we have a quite long coastal territory. So these are our priorities, and we are looking forward for cooperation with the United States.
China's military said Wednesday it's wrapped up large-scale military war games around Taiwan, but warned it would organize regular patrols around the island, which Beijing considers part of China's sovereign territory. This comes after China launched its largest ever live fire drills near Taiwan following a visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to the island last week. Meanwhile, a top Chinese diplomat is blaming the United States for the war in Ukraine, calling the U.S. the, quote, initiator and main instigator of the Ukrainian crisis, unquote. China's ambassador to Russia made the remarks in an interview with the Russian TASS news agency published Wednesday, in which he said the main goal of the U.S. is to, quote, exhaust and crush Russia with a protracted war and the cudgel of sanctions, unquote. Here in New York, former President Trump invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination over 440 times Wednesday as he refused to answer questions posed by New York Attorney General Letitia James and her legal team. Trump was being deposed as part of James' civil investigation into whether the Trump Organization inflated the values of its properties to obtain loans and then reduced them to evade taxes. Trump previously